Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen. It's the Burt Show.
I want to tell you guys that I haven't heard the show at all today. I have been so nervous about Amanda coming in here with Asa and telling you guys that we got engaged that I haven't been able to string a sentence together. I don't really know what's happened on this show at all. Trying to keep it secret until 8 o'clock was virtually impossible.
It makes a lot of sense now. Mm-hmm. Certain things that have been said throughout the show. However, I did clock in on, like, you were, you know, overseas, you were in Scotland, like jet lag, time change, all that stuff.
Oh, that's true too.
However, though, you have been, you could just, the distraction in your face has very much been there. Especially when we're doing 100 days of Good Goes Round. We're literally on day 99 today. And Bert's like, we got a whole other week. And I'm like, you mean one more day? Because tomorrow's day 100.
I don't really know what else to tell you guys. I think that's it for today.
That the two of you are engaged.
Yeah, that we are engaged.
And planning the wedding. That's fine. That's it.
Uh-huh. It's all coming together really, really fast, though. Yeah. Like, and easy. You know, it's like the oldest cliche in the book is like, when you know, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, when Amanda and I kind of confessed that, because we've been friends for 10 years, totally platonic friends for 10 years. Then when we kind of confessed that we were starting to catch feelings for each other, in about a millisecond, everything flashed in front of me, and it just felt like the most right thing ever. Like, of course. Yeah. Of course. And it's just made total and complete sense.
The timing aligned, and it aligned in Scotland when the clouds parted, too,
really
for the beautiful rainbow.
So beautiful.
You guys aren't going to believe that video, because as I'm telling the story to people, I'm like, I know you're not going to believe this, but it was raining, and then I proposed, and the skies just lit up, and we had a rainbow, but we got it on video, which we almost didn't get, actually.
Yeah, well, we didn't get the rainbow on video because it was behind us because of the way the sun was. But we got it all set up, and then, and I'm trying to get it on a metal fence, and, you know, so I ended up having to crop the video because there's a fence in half of it. So we got it, but the phone fell, and we're looking at each other, whatever, and then, thankfully, we caught it, because otherwise our feet.
And then just a couple of minutes later, it worked out. She was balancing that phone. It took you probably 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And she also kind of knew, like, when I was the one that said, maybe we should take a video. I think that was a tip also.
It was. And so I probably would have given up setting the camera up and just been like, we need to do it somewhere else or whatever. But I was like, nope, this is, I know what's coming.
I forgot to mention this. Do you remember the message that I got on Instagram right before we left for vacation from the guy that was freaking out because
about the photographer.
He didn't have a professional photographer for the engagement?
That was you?
I sent that message to me to get your guys' advice if I should hire a professional photographer or not.
And I knew right away that was Bert. I was like, come on, man. But she needs more details.
The best part is, if I had known the fiance was a professional photographer, I would have been like, probably, yes.
But well, you were the one that gave the advice, like, just set up a, he should just set up a video and it's just as good. And yeah. I'm like, perfect.
Well, and it worked out so well for you. Even better, I would argue, with capturing the parting of the skies.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's so you guys, but I just want to know, like, was that ring burning a hole in your pocket? Like, were you at every spot being like, this isn't quite right, but I could make it right because I want to get this ring on her finger?
No, I just felt like the universe was going to tell me exactly when it was right for both of us. So we go to this spot and I'm like, nope, just not perfect enough. This spot didn't seem right. So no, I wasn't really stressing about it. I knew it was going to happen.
But at what point in the trip, like if you were like the day before, like, this is going to happen in the airport?
Well, Scotland is so beautiful. And I said this to Amanda 12 times after I proposed also. Scotland is so beautiful. There were another 10 places that I could have done it after I proposed, because it's just so astonishingly beautiful.
And I know you. Please tell me, after you were, you proposed, you weren't comparing those places to where you had, wondering if you should have waited.
No.
Okay, good.
I did not. I did not.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Everything just feels so trivial after finding out that Burt and Amanda are engaged.
I know, right?
I guess we can talk about Sabrina Carpenter. So Sabrina Carpenter released a brand new album right the day that we went on break, and it was so perfect because it gave me a great album to listen to as we were on a 13-hour flight to Greece. She released a new album called Man's Best Friend. And to my shock and dismay, the girls don't like it. There are some very loud influencers, some very loud fans of Sabrina Carpenter who have come out online and said that this album was a complete disappointment. And they're saying because she released it a year after her previous album, Short and Sweet, that she probably should have waited another year to release these tracks.
Why is it a disappointment?
A lot of the girls are saying that this feels like a continuation of her last album, Short and Sweet, and they feel like it's all the things that were on the cutting room floor that weren't good enough for that album, and so it just feels like a big letdown. But there's also still people that are really hung up on the album cover that she released, where she's all on all fours, and there's a man holding her hair kind of like a leash, which is supposed to be like a tongue-in-cheek play on the fact that the album is called Man's Best Friend. A lot of people felt that was very derogatory towards women, that it wasn't setting a quote-unquote good example for whatever reason, and they feel like the track list doesn't really back up the fact that it just makes women look like we are just pets for men.
I have a very unpopular opinion, and I'm trying to figure out why I feel this way, because I don't know, but Sabrina Carpenter gives me the ick. I just don't, and I really like a lot of her songs, like that she dropped last year, like Espresso on My House on repeat, but something about this new, I think it feels... And this may be unfair of me because I've been out of like the scene and being entrenched in it. So not like I was in the pop scene, but as like someone who really consumed that, it feels so forced and contrived now that it just, it feels fake. And it's giving like when Katy Perry chopped off all her hair and went platinum blonde and tried to be someone else, or Miley when she went like hard right from being like whatever. It just doesn't feel authentic, and it's giving me the ick. And I really hope this is not the sophomore slump downfall of Sabrina, because I think she's super talented and a great musician, but I don't, and maybe it's just me, but the vibes are off.
I have a theory, because you have a daughter, okay? And so as a woman who has a daughter, Sabrina Carpenter is a very sensual person, right? I mean, you can tell that by watching her. For me, it doesn't give force, but because she looks so young, because she's so tiny, petite, like when you look at her on stage next to Taylor Swift, she looks like a child, right? So I think because she looks so young, that's where the ick is coming from, because you look at her as a child and not as a woman.
I think you're right, and that's actually very unfair of me, because you should still be able to do whatever you want to do, regardless of how you look, but I think you nailed it. She looks, how old is she, in her early 20s?
I think she's 25. She's a little bit younger than me.
So she, I mean, 25, it doesn't matter. Past 18, you're a bona fide adult. You should do whatever. But it just, and I feel hypocritical for saying this, and I'll lay it out there. It's hypocritical, but because she does, you're right. She looks so young. I'm just like, it's just rubbing me the wrong way. And that, I'll say it's not fair of me.
And it was what you said about Selena Gomez, because you've always looked at her as like young and as a girl. And then when she started, embracing her sexuality, you were like, I can't.
I feel the same way about Ariana Grande. I just can't take her seriously that way. Maybe because it's just petite. I don't know.
It's what Millie Bobby Brown's going through right now. Like everybody sees her as 11 on Stranger Things, but she isn't. Like she's a married grown woman with a child. So it's, but you people, because of like, whether it's nostalgia or just because of that's what you saw them as when you got to know them. So they're kind of imprinted in your head like that. It's hard to accept that, no, they've grown. They're an adult now.
And it's so interesting you say that, because I remember like when people were coming at Britney for the Rolling Stone cover Forever Girl and saying she was sexualized as a child, defending that, being like, she's a woman, she can do whatever she wants. But I think there's a weird thing that you don't know until you live through it. But as you get older, like I'm celebrating my 40th birthday this month. And it's not to say I'm trying to be judgy. It's when you look at young 20-somethings, they used to look your age, and now 20-somethings look like children to me. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I don't think you act like children, like anything. It's just, we went to the bars this past weekend, and it was just, I felt like I was surrounded by children. And
you're getting older, man.
Yes. And it was good for me to be like, okay, that's cool. This is not not everything has to be for me. I don't need to be here, but it's something that as you get older, I've got to check myself and be like, hey, you have the it because you're seeing Sabrina as a child, like you said, and that's not fair. And I think it's okay to admit when you're being hypocritical and maybe call yourself out on that.
I don't know when also, like, and this could be way, way, way off, and it doesn't have to do with sexuality or anything like that, but there's still such a ripple effect of the Taylor Swift engagement, and she's still so top of mind with everybody that I wonder if putting out an album now, even though this was probably scheduled way ahead of the engagement, it just falls flat because it seems like it's not as big as Taylor Swift.
Maybe. And also, I think the fact that she released it a year after her album Short and Sweet, I think it's intentional because Taylor is one of her colleagues, one of her cohorts, one of her close friends. She's releasing her album after the Grammy cycle. So I think she was like, let me knock this out as soon as possible so I'm not competing with Taylor Swift next year at the Grammys.
It's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm stunned and kind of happy, actually, that they haven't figured out who she is yet, because she is going, ooh, comments are going to be bad. Maybe she's going to lose her job. I don't know. You guys know who Home Run Karen is?
Oh, do I know who Home Run Karen is?
So, Abby, you've been out of the country, and you still got the salt water smell in your hair from landing from Crete. So you haven't been online at all. But a couple of days ago, at a Marlins game in Florida, they're playing Philadelphia, right? And there is a home run hit into like left field or whatever by one of the Phillies players. And a dad is there with his two kids in his Phillies gear. Kids are in the Phillies gear also. Home run is hit. And you've seen this play out a million times before at Major League Baseball stadiums. For a foul ball or a home run, you got like six people that are all converging on the baseball. And then one of them usually comes out of it victorious and holds it up, right? This is what happens at the Philly game. So dad runs in there. He's got like five people around. He's the one that gets the ball. And he's so excited. He's holding up the ball for his son because they specifically went to the game to catch a home run ball on the kid's birthday. And they've done this for a couple of years now. And the kid was what, 10, 11 years old?
Something like that.
Something like that, right? They sit in the same seats. And they hope and pray. And on this particular year, it actually happened. So he grabs the ball. He's walking back to his son. He's so excited. He puts the ball in his son's mitt. So he's sitting in left field with his glove on, really thinking he's going to catch a home run. And sure enough, they finally get it, right?
It was his 10th birthday.
10th birthday, all right?
Double digits, baby.
So as he starts to put the ball into his kid's glove, an older woman in Philly's gear also runs up to him as fast as she can, grabs him by the arm, and starts yelling at him. Like, he clearly is stunned. Like, the dad is like, what is that? She was so loud. He was stunned on what was going on. And it was one of the five people that were sort of like jockeying for the ball, and she didn't get it. He did.
And just so you could paint a picture here, right? So when the ball was hit, there was quite a few empty seats where the ball was hit.
I mean, it's a Marlins game.
And so the ball was hit in the row that the dad was sitting in with his kid. She was sitting in the row behind that, okay? So she was reaching over trying to grab the ball. Dad just ran down his aisle, bent over and picked it up because the ball got hit into his aisle.
Mm-hmm.
But she felt because it got hit to her, but it was the row in front of her. So because it was there, she felt she was entitled to it. But obviously, that's not professional baseball protocol. It's like whoever gets there first gets it.
It's a scrum, right? And yeah. It's not like she had it in her
Never
hand.
Never had either. It in her hand.
They're all reaching for it.
It's all about finders keepers. Whoever gets it first, that's who gets the ball.
Now, it's not the same thing. You saw what happened at the tennis match too, right? With that millionaire who stole the cat from the kid.
I have not seen that.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right. So she starts yelling at him and he's freaked out. Everybody in the section starts booing her, right?
They're
giving her a hard time. They're like, leave him alone. It's for a little kid. It's a little kid. The dad turns around, takes the ball out of his kid's glove, gives it to her and goes, just get out of here. He kind of like gives her the hand thing, like just leave us alone. Get out of here. Here's your ball.
That was the most shocking part of the whole video.
We're going to get into that for sure, because I think people have opinions about that. And if you've seen this and you want to get in on this, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. So she starts with the ball. Now she walks down to her seat. People are like booing her so badly. She turns around. She flips the entire section off.
Stop.
Yes. So the good news on this whole thing is this was really cool and it hasn't been reported a lot, but two people that were in the stands went and bought the kid a couple of baseballs that were Marlin fans, which was nice. Then the word got down to the Marlins themselves. They bring him up like a goodie pack with a bobblehead and a ball also. And then the player on Philadelphia that hit the home run calls for him after the game. The kid goes down into the stadium, into the locker room, and they give him a bat.
An autographed bat.
An autographed bat. So it turned out okay, but yeah, people are really upset that he gave that ball up. And I think we probably have all done this. Like if you're in that particular position, do you take the ball and give it to this crazy woman, or does your son get the ball? Because as a parent, I think you're like, okay, what's the lesson here?
Yeah.
What is the lesson here?
So my husband was showing me this video, right? So he's showing me this video. And again, as I'm watching it, to me, it wasn't the Karen acting like a Karen. It was the fact that the father on his son's birthday took the ball out of his son's glove and gave it to her. Like he acquiesced to this woman who was essentially bullying them for the ball. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him, I'm like, what would you have done? He's like, there's no way in hell that I would have given her that baseball. Like, because again, it would have been different if he had ripped it from her hands. The woman never had the ball in her hands. It was fair game. He got them. And the fact that she came up and she's arguing with the dad, but the kid, like, there's a 10-year-old kid with the ball in his glove. Doesn't matter if it was his birthday or not. It's a child.
Right.
So, I was floored that he gave it to her.
Well, did anybody ask what ballpark Karen wanted that ball for? Maybe it was special for her.
Nobody asked her a thing.
Not to defend her.
She even had the Karen haircut.
She did, man. She's fully Karen.
Like the Kate Gosling thing with the mullet?
Yeah.
Well, but hers is white. It was gray and white.
This is the dad talking about it.
As soon as it cracked off the bat, it was starting to head our way a little bit. It fell and kind of bobbled between the two armrests. And I picked it up and I just walked away and held the ball up high and put it in Lincoln's glove. And then she showed up. As she reached for my arm, she just yelled in my ear, "That's my ball," like super loud. I jumped out of my skin. Then she's like, "Those are from our seats." I said, "There was nobody in that seat." I pretty much just wanted her to go away and be dad and show him how to de-escalate a situation. So that's where I went.
I wasn't very happy that we had to give it to her, but we can't win. She was going to get it anyways.
Stan here says he's got a pretty unpopular opinion. Hey, Stan, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What do you got?
Good. Well, I was watching that video, and the unpopular opinion is it really does look like that guy took the ball from the woman. And when she walks over to him, you could actually hear her say, "You took it from my hand." Now, I don't know either way. Either way you look at it, taking the ball away from that kid was a bad move on her part.
Yeah.
But, you know, look at that video again. Watch it, and you tell me what you think.
Okay, I'll take a look at it again. Uh-huh. It just kind of felt like it was one of those stereotypical scenes. In fact, I've been in those scenes before also, where you're all running for the ball, and there could be two or three people that have their hand on the ball at the same time. So who has ownership of it? I don't know.
When he pulls his hand away, you see her arm move as if he's pulling her arm. So, again, watch it, see what you think. I mean, on the heels of the guy who took the hat at the tennis match.
Yes.
Oh. I could see why, you know, people would get on this woman about it. But, you know, you never know. Jury's out.
All right, so thanks for calling. Appreciate you. So tell me about this tennis thing.
Dude, so at the U.S. Open, right, there is a player who is signing autographs, and there is a man and a bunch of little kids, right? So just to kind of give you, this is the man, and he's right next to a bunch of little kids.
Uh-huh.
And so this tennis player, I don't even know the tennis player's name, but he is signing autographs, and he signs a hat, and he's not even looking. He's just signing and passing stuff up into the stands. Well, this millionaire CEO from Poland snatches the hat from this kid. All right? And the kid is like crying. It's mine. It's mine. And it was so obvious. So it was so crazy because, again, this 50-year-old man, and the CEO and a millionaire, he goes and he doubled down. And I'm trying to find the statement because he basically said, first come, first serve. Like, if you wanted it, you should have been faster. And then he went on to say that if you disparage my name, that slander, I will sue. Like, this whole thing. Like, this is what the CEO wrote afterwards. But then after that, he came out and apologized. He met with the kid. He gave the kid the hat. Like, did, like, this whole PR stunt to take care of the damage that was done. But I was floored because it was so odd. He just snatched it right from this kid. It was so gross. And then the statement he releases, and I swear this Polish CEO just doubled down and was like, if you wanted it, you should have been faster.
Oh,
and
I was dang.
Like, who says that? And then follows up and like, I apologize. I am so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. That wasn't my intention. It doesn't change the fact that I hurt the boy and disappointed the fans. Like, it was, oh my God, it was a whole thing.
Now, I'm shocked that the home run Karen hasn't been identified yet. At first, they thought they had her, but they misidentified who it was. So a woman had to come out and go, it's not me. It's not me. So I'm kind of shocked and floored that no one's found her yet.
I'm floored too. And I feel so bad for the woman. That's another thing too. Before you do like this massive pile on the internet and social media, like this woman that was wrongfully accused of being the home run Karen, and that wasn't her and all that hate that she got. The whole thing is just a mess.
I know I have Karen tendencies, but let's remember, I was in another country last week.
Yeah, wasn't you.
Wasn't me.
It for sure was not you.
Here, Bert Show.
So it's so funny you brought up the home run Karen, because that's the video I was watching when my husband ended up having me watch an adult video instead.
What?
Okay, so let me explain here. I chided my husband in the fact that, like, if you wanted me to watch porn with you, you could just ask. Like, you didn't have to go over, like, these links to get me to watch it.
He's like, but you would have said no.
This was so random. And the way he wasn't embarrassed, and I was laughing so hard, I was getting tears because it was so random that I'm watching the Phillies Karen get her home run baseball from the man and the birthday boy that just turned 10. And then it flips. And then I'm watching a very adult scene. And it took me a second to register because, you know, I'm just watching a clip from a Major League Baseball game of the home run Karen. And now I'm watching something highly inappropriate. And I'm like, what is this? And he's like, oh my God.
That's the other home run Karen.
And I'm not going to get into specifics of what these two, what this couple was doing.
How did it stitch into each other?
Okay, so here's what's happening. And I am
Or at least what is he saying is the reason why it stitched into each other.
But, and apparently this is a thing now, but I would not know because I don't go on X, formerly known as Twitter. So apparently X is a cesspool now, right? And there are no guardrails. It's the wild, wild west. It's a free for all. Whatever you want to post gets posted. And it's graphic. Okay. And so when you are watching videos on X, the next video that can scroll in like your...
What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
For you or whatever, can very easily be porn, can very easily be an adult video, because apparently it's rampant there right now. To the point Bart said he was listening to a podcast of somebody else lamenting that anytime they are on Twitter and they're in their For You page looking at videos, like you could find a video and show it to somebody and then the next one to scroll will be a clip of an adult video.
Is it just like promoting their OnlyFans page or it's like literal... Because I'm like you, I haven't been on X
I haven't
in
either.
Over a year.
I can't remember the last time I went on there just because the whole thing, I didn't like the way Elon took it over and what he did with it and the misinformation. And like I said, there's no guidelines. Like, I want people to have freedom of speech and whatever, but not to the point where you're hurting other people and it becomes dangerous, right? And to me, X had become dangerous. And so I'm like, I don't feel comfortable using this platform anymore, participating on it. Now, however, my husband still enjoyed using it because of the people he followed and he was still getting useful information from it. But he did confirm that this place has just turned into it's gross and it's unregulated. It's so unregulated that this stuff happens all the time. So it was just so bizarre. As I'm laying in bed, right? I pause my murder show so he could show me the Phillies Karen video. And then all of a sudden it scrolls. And then there's this man doing something to a woman, this woman doing something to a man. And I'm like, what is this right now?
This is the first example of a reason to go on X I've heard in a year.
So this is like a little PSA that if you're showing somebody a video on X, just be prepared that it could scroll. And I'm like, if you were in public showing somebody this, OMG, because it was...
Did you learn something?
It was graphic.
Now we know why your vacation was so good.
It was after the vacation. I didn't even get this information before the vacation. Otherwise, it would have come in very handy.
Here, Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I'm going to give the parent warning for adult content. So if you got kids in the car, feel free to return to the Bert Show podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And Charlie Sheen is opening up about something he has never spoken about before. So he recently did an interview on Good Morning America, where he revealed that he is over keeping a part of his life a secret, that he's been paying people off to also keep it a secret as well. He says that he's had sexual encounters with men and that he feels very liberated now that he's opening up about it.
And you say sex went hand in hand with your drug use.
It did, yeah.
And wanting to try, as you framed it, quote, other side of the menu, which for some people out there, they may, what's the other side of the menu? That's sleeping with men. You're being honest about it now. Why did you keep a secret for so long?
Sure. Because there was another element to it that it did come with a tremendous amount of extortion. And so at the time I was just like, all right, let's just pay to keep it quiet and just hope it just stays over there, make it go away. You know, just make it go away. And then,
so you were just paying people not to.
Because they would have had videoed things or whatever and had stuff over me. So that was kind of held hostage.
It's like a very expensive subscription service. Like, if you want to keep this part of your life a secret, it's going to cost you XYZ amount of dollars.
In Charlie Sheen's life, this is the least shocking thing I've heard.
That he has slept with men?
Yeah. I mean, you remember the chokehold that this dude had over the country? Tiger blood and all that?
Winning!
This is the least shocking thing I've heard.
Oh, I will 1,000% be tuning in to his Netflix special that comes out September 10th.
Oh, yeah, he's got a story.
Yeah, and I love the fact, too, that he and Denise Richards were on the red carpet together. By the way, she's on my gimme list. She still is just absolutely beautiful and stunning, and I am like, I...
You're into it.
I'm obsessed, but not in a healthy manner. And I was very excited when she joined the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But seeing them together on the red carpet and how far they have come as a couple and co-parenting. But I can only imagine, obviously he's doing this, you know, PR tour, and the most salacious stuff is going to get mentioned to get people to tune in. You know, it's the 80-20 rule. You're going to give him 80% of it, and you're going to be like, how did he get himself in a position where he was, you know, sleeping with men? And of course, you're going to tune in because he's a fascinating individual, and he is messed up, but at least he owns up that he is messed up. But he's 8 years sober now.
Yeah.
Good for him. Well, in other not shocking news, Sabrina Carpenter is singing about sex, and people for the first time are not happy about it. They feel like it is from her new album, Man's Best Friend, is all of the songs from the cutting room floor for Short and Sweet. But I'm a huge fan of the album. I think they are fun. I'm like, what happened to whimsy? What happened to having a good time? And that's what basically all of these songs are about, is what it is like being in your 20s and dating around with men who do not care if you live or die.
Does it feel like exposing sexy isn't as chic recently as it has been? I think the pushback on Sabrina Carpenter, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago with Sydney Sweeney also saying, like, she doesn't need to do this. She's so talented, right? Has there been, like, this ethical pushback now?
I don't think so, because I think the way y'all feel about Sabrina Carpenter is sort of the way I feel when I see Sydney Sweeney come out with something that's sort of overtly sexual. It's not that I have a problem with her using her sexuality in any way. I think maybe people are getting to a point where that part of their lives feels overexposed in one note. And so maybe they're seeing these songs come out being all about, you know, sex once again, and they're kind of maybe just, they're just kind of over it. They're like, okay, what else do you got? Mm. I don't know if it's like,
yeah, one-dimensional. You need to be multifaceted.
It's one-dimensional. It just feels like you're falling back on your laurels of like, okay, we've heard, we get it. You like to do it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun for you. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Here, Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.